And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X. And listeners, I think I lost the culture scientist at David's Bridal. So she's not with us this week. But, you know, if you clicked on the title of this episode, you know this is a black box episode. So, you know, you're about to get a little bit out of pocket.
You out of pocket.
We're going to tell some stories. We're going to get some jokes off. So, you know, it's just myself and my running mate. My D-Wade to my LeBron, or vice versa, if he feels like it. The man with many nicknames, the many do-rags, and the many hip-hop collection on his shirt, Mr. Smith himself. Introduce yourself.
Hip-hop collection, huh? Yes. I'm going to give you that one. Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Not really a lot this week. Just a matter of just making sure that y'all keep your mental. I mean, the season is getting ready to change. And for all you single folks out there, cuffing season is now around the corner.
Hey, may the odds be in your favor.
Hunger Games like a bug.
Hopefully you are in the starting lineup and not on the bench.
I mean, if it's one of them cold nights, bench players get love too. You can get a solid 10 of 10.
You pop off every 20 games. I mean, I can respect that, but just don't get your role confused. Don't think you a starter and you the 12th man. You just a lunch date. Don't be the lunch date. So, with that being said, listeners, we want to give you a quick update before we get any further. Listeners, you remember in the last episode, we talked about this gentleman who decided he wanted to go to McDonald's with the case of the monkeypox. The drive-thru person was probably looking at him crazy like, nigga, what you doing here? He's like, what you doing here? My nigga, you looking like an octopus as, who was it? Teacher Bay? Did Teacher Bay say that or Queen C?
That was me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was way off. I need you to understand, here's how it is. We got an update for you about the gentleman, because apparently this shit is not over with. Just get a load of this.
What's good, y'all? Just to let y'all know, the person who took my payment was absolutely fine, and yeah, this was just a promo gone wrong. I would have revealed this sooner, but I was just taking input left and right and didn't know what the hell to do. Just to give y'all a quick brief of what this was all about, I have unique and unconventional marketing methods when it comes to promoting my music. And I usually try to tie the marketing around a premise of the song. This time the song was called Choose Yourself, so I was trying to market it in a way where it displays a person choosing himself regardless of how other people feel about it. Unfortunately, it didn't translate that way and people just end up getting mad at me. My followers didn't get upset because they understand my marketing schemes, but unfortunately the video went viral and it attracted people who didn't understand. For example, this is another time where I promoted my song with parking tickets and it went viral. People started off upset, but eventually grew a liking. I thought that would happen this time, but unfortunately not. It's more to the story. Follow for more. What's good, y'all?
Listeners, that's right. Old boy decided to fake having monkeypox in order to promote his music. I have heard of many of things in my lifetime for someone to do to promote their music. Go on Jerry Springer. Go on Maury. And everything in between. But to promote it and go off as if you have a highly infectious disease that for a lot of people is still quite dangerous and we're still in a panorama, what in your unsanctified mind made you think this was going to be okay and people were going to react the way that you want? I don't care if you've done this with your followers or other stuff. If it's gone if you know it's going to go viral, why can't you have chosen something else? I mean, granted, we're talking about you, but dog, come on now. We're not going to talk about how his stomach's sticking out of his shirt, but that's a whole nother thing. But on top of that, you want to also promote by giving people parking tickets? Dog, you about to get shot twice to doing something that stupid. Mr. Smith, you have any quick thoughts?
I'm like you said, this is This is a really infectious disease. Like, do you understand? Probably you don't know what people are dealing with in their personal lives. You could have met somebody at that McDonald's that has high anxiety and can get panic attacks. And if they see that, they could have did that. Now you just kill somebody because you want to promote music. Like, again, and we're gonna get to it probably a little bit later, but clout is not all of that. Like, I don't, and maybe it's just because of the way I was brought up, or the way that me and you, Brother X, like the era that we came from, but it wasn't to the point where we had to go to this extreme just to get noticed. Sometimes just being your regular self without all the extras is okay. Like, I'm not saying that you can't promote your stuff, but bruh, this is extreme.
Right, like, dog, what if someone literally just had COVID and is immune compromised, as some people are, and you now cause them to freak out, and if their boss doesn't have understanding, they might lose their time because of all this. So it's highly inconsiderate, very stupid, and dog, I'm gonna be honest, from what the little snippets you were probably playing in the background, it was mid at best. But I don't know, man. It just sounds crazy. But with that being said, go ahead and play the copyrighted music.
Okay, so this week we're just gonna blow through these real quickly because it's not a lot of, well, it's some major stuff, but nothing like ridiculously crazy. So, gotta show love to the WNBA. They are in the playoffs right now. They're in the semifinal round. Las Vegas smoked Phoenix, which again, free BG. We'll say that all the time.
Right.
Russia. It was some hash oil. Like, it was. Let it go. It was some hash oil. Seattle ended up beating the Mystics. And so now Las Vegas and Seattle are going at it. And Seattle has won the first game. I believe that was Monday.
Sunday.
Going Oh, it was Sunday. Okay.
Oh, no. Shout out to Mama Scientist. I know you wanted to watch that game. I saw I couldn't get it handled for you, but I'm pulling for the Aces. And is it Aja or Asia? Asia Wilson?
Think it's Asia Wilson.
We want to talk about. Ooh, fine. Tall glass of chocolate milk. Yes, Lord. All right, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Yeah, I'm about to say I don't need culture scientists coming back from Davis Bridal and ready to kill me. Anywho, going on the other side, Chicago ended up beating New York to head to the next round, and Connecticut beat Dallas. So Chicago and Connecticut are going at it in semifinals, and Connecticut beat Chicago in game one. So both of them, as of the time of this recording, should be getting ready to tip off. One tipping off within probably like the past half hour, the other one tipping off a couple hours after, within our recording. So hopefully, by the time this comes out, they'll probably be in the finals, and we'll see what goes on from there and give our take. Going to the NFL, nothing really much to talk about there. It's the end of preseason, so all of the games have been played for preseason, and the rosters have now been officially cut down to 53 players. For my team, the Ravens, of course, it's special because we won a record-setting 23rd straight preseason win against the, I gotta collect myself before I say it, Washington Commanders.
He
asshole. And so, like, we're going through, this is probably, I can't remember if this is our sixth or seventh, maybe eighth straight preseason of like no losses, which is crazy to think of, right? But NFL is going to kick off in 2 weeks, and this is going to be an interesting time. I'm looking forward to how the storylines play out and the players that have been traded. Like, how are they going to look in actual game time? We've been seeing them in garbage time and stuff like that, but it'll be interesting to actually see them when stakes are actually on the line. Going to the NBA, last week I mentioned that Chet Holmgren, who was the number two overall pick for the Oklahoma City Thunder, had what was believed to be maybe torn ligaments in his foot. Listeners, come to find out, he has a Lisfranc injury. which means homeboy's out for the season. And that is sucks. Like he has one of the biggest hypes around him. And he's not even going to see a game until next season over a pro-am game. Now, granted, you were going against LeBron, so I mean,
LeBron going to send him a get well card?
I mean, he might have to, but I'm sorry. I'm making a business decision. If I see a 6'8", 235, 240-pound man running at me full steam, nah, brother, you got it. I'm good. I don't need that.
Stop trying to prove yourself, man. These young Thundercats trying to prove themselves. They're going to get themselves hurt. Paolo got bodied by DeJounte Murray. Kept playing. Like, these young dudes, I get it. You trying to prove yourself. But, dog, don't get humiliated before you play your first game, though.
Mm-hmm. Because we appreciate you going to them pro-ams and actually showing up for the kids and for those folks that don't get a chance to see you. Appreciate it, but don't fuck up your paper. Don't mess up that bag. That's all I'm saying. Also, listeners, I don't remember what episode it was, but a couple episodes ago, I did a story on Montrezl Harrell and how that man was found with, he was the plug in his car. Like, that man had bricks on bricks on bricks of weed. Well, of course, rich people, privileges. In his court date, they decided to reduce his felony to a misdemeanor, and he can get the misdemeanor expunged from his record if he doesn't have any further issues with the police for 12 months. So I feel like if I'm him, again, I quote, what's the comedian's name? I'm thinking of Money Mike. Cat Williams. I quote Cat Williams where he's like, nigga, you got away with murder. You ain't supposed to jaywalk. You supposed to be it. Like, you, at this point, I would be like how Kawhi Leonard was when he was with the San Antonio Spurs. All you knew him for was he was in his old Chevy car or whatever old car he had, even though he was a multimillionaire. He went to play. He went to work out. He went to practice. He did the games. He went home. That's it. Don't do nothing. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Stay your ass at Boardwalk. There's nothing else needs to be said about that. Yeah. Moving on to college. So there was an incident. I want to say it was probably like last week or earlier this week, right?
Yeah, I'm about to say at the time of this recording, it was about a weekend ago.
Yeah. And so BYU has a volleyball team, and on the volleyball team, there was, I believe it was about one black woman or one black girl.
Yes.
And every time that she went up to serve, let me make sure I get this right. I'm sorry. It was Duke.
Yes.
Who had the volleyball player, and they were at BYU.
Correct.
And there was a BYU fan. Every time she went up to serve, the fan kept calling her the N-word. And it was to the point where even her teammates are looking over like this is really happening. And fans are even like, yo, like, that's not us. What are you doing? And I look at that and I say to them, you guys are shocked because you're actually seeing it. We've been seeing it our whole lives. Hence why you saw the whole time the black girl had that ball in her hand to serve, she never flinched. She never looked over. She just kept going. She has that mental block to be like, I'm blocked in. I am not paying attention to anything that the crowd says.
Right.
But for those white folks that are really like, oh my gosh, this is happening. This happens. Like, this isn't new. This isn't rockets. Like, this has been going on for quite some time. You're just now getting it. Right. Similar to, and I forgot to mention this a couple of weeks ago, but similar to the Terrell Owens story where he was going to his mailbox to get the mail, and this white woman was alleging that he had like ran a stoplight or ran a stop sign and was talking about she was going to get the police involved. And he's like, ma'am, I'm just going to my mailbox. Like, I'm not even driving fast. I'm doing the speed limit. I was ignoring you. And then the police get there And all of a sudden, her story doesn't make sense. So what do they do, listeners? If you remember from episodes ago, we talked about the white woman, and I believe it was either Victoria's Secret or Bed Bath & Beyond. Bath & Body Works. It was either Victoria's Secret or Bath & Body Works. The white woman at the Social Security guy, all of a sudden now, they weaponize their tears to be like, oh my God, I'm damsel in distress. I'm helpless.
Right.
That's what happened with the Terrell Owens. All of a sudden now she's crying, talking about some, he came and he attacked me and I don't believe why you guys don't believe me. Meanwhile, Terrell Owens' neighbors, they came out and be like, that man wasn't speeding. He was going to his mailbox. Like,
this is
the stuff that we talk about, people. Like, this is stuff where we say, you guys be thinking, oh, slavery was abolished and oh, racism doesn't. Yeah, tell that to these folks. And don't say, oh, these are just isolated incidents, because there's a lot of, so many isolated incidents equals a whole population of stuff. So just putting that out there.
Real quick, before you move on, not a shout out, but a call out. BYU athletic director, when you did your statement about the situation, one, why did it take you 24 hours? Two, why are you not calling what it is? Don't say that this is poor fan behavior, whatever case, or whatever wording you said. Call the racists a racist and call them on the bullshit. Yes, ban them so they can't come to any events, but call the shit what it is. If you're really trying to be a disruptor and not just trying to cover your ass, call the shit what it is. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, being a disruptor is telling a basketball player, no, I was about to get him in trouble. You already know what joke I was about to throw out. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. No, not to him.
No.
And then finally, Serena Williams is the GOAT. Like, no, don't tell me nobody else. She is the GOAT. Is playing what is believed to be her final Open, which is the U.S. Open, as of this recording. As of this recording, she has already gotten through her first match. She is in the middle of her second match, where she is up. She is up one series. One set, I guess, because I always get confused where it's like, she beat. It is one set. Yes, so she has the first set, and they're in the middle of the second set, and she's getting beat 4-1. But I feel like she's going to turn it on in the third set and take it over and be done with it. So either way, regardless how this goes, shout out to you, Miss Serena Williams, the GOAT, the best there ever was, ever will be. Like, again, as I said in one of my previous episodes, like, you had men scared of you trying to play against you. Like, I don't care what happens, you the GOAT. And if anybody tells me, well, what about Tom Brady? What about Michael Jordan? Did they ever play and win a singles tournament while pregnant? No? Okay, that's what I thought. There's no more discussion.
Like she was playing with a handicap. No other words need to be said.
And not only was she playing, she still waxed ass. Like, it didn't even slow her down. That's the crazy part. So, yeah. Other than that, for any of your NFL news, especially with the season getting ready to take off, shout out to my boy Red Wolf. Please check out his YouTube series, Rough House. Links will be in the description. And outside of that, that's it for Mr. Smith Sports Center.
All right, play the music out, man. All right, now you know what time it is. Let's get to the ignorance. I don't even know how to segue this. Well, I know what. Here's how we go. Speaking of football and wings and other things, first and foremost, listeners, I need you to know, we try to do our research on this podcast sometimes when we feel like it, maybe on every other day of the third month of the 22nd year. But there are some stories that's come across your timeline that you're just like, dog, I don't even know if it's real or not, but we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to give you the headline, and then I'm going to get into the factuals. Hooters waitress caught dipping hot wings in her vagina.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what? What?
Say what?
Yes. Jessica Sinclair, 24 years old, out of Houston, Texas. Texas. All right. was taken into police custody after she was witnessed by co-workers dipping hot wings into her vagina before serving them to customers. Okay. From what authorities have told us, Jessica would dip wings into her vagina while on or off her period.
Oh, that's nasty.
I'm sorry.
What? Whoa.
You did what, ma'am? This was done to customers whom had been rude and or made off remarks about her performance. Dog, that is diabolical. That is your villain origin story. It continues to say why she would do this while on her period is anyone's guess. The introduction of blood to this crime heightens the consequences of her actions. Tampering with food along with the addition of human blood is a criminal offense with special circumstances. I would hope so. It carries a sentence up to 20 years in prison. Dang. The lesser charges of inserting the wing into her vagina while not menstruating can carry a prison term up to 10 years. Still, damn. Listeners, this is just crazy. What in the world is going on? Like, I know when dudes ask for wings, they don't want, that was not the type of wet or twang they wanted to their wings. Like, my man wanted lemon pepper wet, not menstruate wet.
Oh my God. That's disgusting, but it's so funny.
Charlie, I get it. Why don't you just be like other waitresses and other people who have rude customers? Just spend their food. Or so I've heard. I've never done that. I don't work in food, so I would never know if that actually happened. But if you did that, I'm not saying that you were in the right, but you wouldn't be facing up to 20 years in prison. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Smith, what you going to do if this happened to you? Or you find out this is happening?
First of all, let's just call it what it is. If I'm going to Hooters, I'm not going for the wings. Because, listeners, if you go to Hooters for wings, I need you to upgrade your taste buds. B-Dubs and America's Best Wings, along with, of course, the GOAT strip club wings, are better than Hooters, okay? But if I was to be in this situation and I feel a twang and I look down and I see that and I'm just like, wait a minute. I ordered dry rub lemon pepper. Why do I have red stuff on it?
Mm-mm. Oh, that's that special hot sauce that we had in the bag.
Oh no, she gonna get arrested at that moment. I don't put my hands on woman, but she will get arrested with the quickness.
Oh yeah, no, I'm pressing charges. Oh yeah, no. Mm-mm. I'm suing Hooters. It ain't gonna be Hooters no more. It's just gonna be Hoop by the time I'm done.
But overall, I'm just more like, where did you come up with that idea? Like that, like I understand. No, actually, you know what? No, I can't even do it. I don't understand. I don't like one, just for your own personal body, yeast infection much? Two,
pH balance. Yeah,
just like and then most of all, again, like you said, I agree with Brother X. I've never done it, even though I've definitely worked in food. But rude or off made offer marks, spit their food, they won't see it, but. Period blood? Oh, you tripping. You are tripping, and you have reminded me that this is why I only get the build your own burger at Hooters. If I'm going to get wings, I'm going to go to Magic City.
Talk about it. Now, Twin Peaks, shout out to Twin Peaks. You know who you are. But, Mrs. Smith, you're going to have to go ahead and cut this joke out. But her doing that, is that considered moving on to the next story.
Oh my God.
Yeah, all
right. That was a good one. That was. I'm sorry, listeners. I wish you could have heard that, but that was good. I was not. You didn't warn me about that in our pre-show. I'll give you that. That was good.
I gotta keep some in the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen. So we got this next coming up. The next story. We just to set things up. It was a couple months back, probably about a year ago.
It was only a year ago.
Okay. So a year ago, they brought up the story about the high school, Bishop Sycamore, and about how it just seemed like really off, how they were playing two football games in the span of 2 days, as well as playing the number one ranked school in the country for football, a prep school called IG. Is it IG or
IMG? IMG.
IMG Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, HBO has decided they want to make a documentary about Sycamore, Bishop Sycamore. And you want to know what the name is? Mrs. Wolf, can you tell them what the name of this documentary is going to be?
The naming is going to be BS High. And whoever came up with that title, give that man a raise, because that is perfect. Even if you were to say, listeners, if you were to say, oh, they're calling it Bullshit High, if you remember the initials, Bishop Sycamore. It's beautiful. It's actually a perfectly balanced title. I love it.
Now, Mr. Smith, do you have any other thoughts about this? I know you wanted to get into it a little bit.
I'm as I look back at it, I forgot. Like, it's been, I didn't realize it's been a year. And I just remember watching that game live. And I just was wondering, like, who is this team? Because they are getting, like, monkey. Like, listeners, there's one thing where I say you're getting your ass whooped. And there's another thing where I'm saying you're getting monkey stomped. They got monkey freaking stomped by IMG. They ended up losing the game 58-0. And one of the plays on there that will forever remain in, I guess, meme and joke history is where the team is on like a 4th and 19 or whatever, and you know they got a punt, right? And whoever is the punter is reading the wristlet like a quarterback, like he's trying to set up a play. We're all like, we know you're going to punt it. We know you're going to punt it. Like, I don't understand why you're setting up this play.
Who are you trying to fool?
But listeners, it gets worse. He audibles, or fake audibles, to make it seem like he's redirecting his wide receivers. Gets the ball. He goes to punt it. IMG blocks the punt, rolls in the back of the end zone for a safety. I'm just like, if there were, ever was a time where you do all that for nothing, this was that time. So,
yeah,
I'll be looking forward to this documentary. I'm sure, you know, me and Brother X will have our own take on it after it comes out. But yeah, I just like the fact that the dude thinks he's not a con artist. I'm like, dog, you had people that listen, they
would you gotta see. We'll put this in the show notes. You just gotta see the clip that they pulled from, like, the behind the scenes. He's like talking about, like, I took some body language courses and trying to make sure that they don't think I'm like some type of criminal ever. Sir, you were on the run for bad checks and not doing what you're supposed to do as an athletic director. You are the definition of a con man.
Well,
but moving, staying in the school realm, you know, kids are going back to school. And Mr. Smith, I got a question. Say you have a little Mr. Smith, a baby Smith, rolling around, whatever, and you roll up into your child's preschool.
Okay.
And you see they're art teacher. Like, you meeting all the teachers, great time. Everybody seemed nice, PE teacher's cool, music teacher's awesome, all these things. And then you end up meeting the art teacher, and she looks like what you see on the screen. Mr. Smith, do you mind describing this person to the listeners?
Listeners, if you were to look at Instagram and you were to see an Instagram baddie who, let's just call it what it is, went to DR, went to Dr. Mammy and got her body done, right? Boobs are, you know, looks, I would guess, maybe 36 double or triple D, maybe. Mm-hmm. Booty tight and, you know, very slim waist. So you can tell it's been doctored. But granted, she's covered up. So that's the biggest thing. The difference is, it's not like IG models where they show all the skin. Like, she's covered up very well. But, you know, she just can't help her shape. Now, if I was to see that, I would just be like, huh, all right. They got some good looking teachers. So what you teaching my child?
That's the only thing you're thinking?
I mean, I'm gonna be. This is honest, Mr. Smith here. Okay, this is really honest, Mr. Smith here. Because of the explosion of BBLs and people getting their body done, which, if you want to get it done, hey, I don't knock it. Do what you feel and what you love. But because of that and how it's oversaturated the market, this doesn't really like blow up to me anymore, like how it used to be when I was in, let's say, college. I'm like, you know, it's almost like, this is gonna be a really horrible comparison, but it's what it is. It's almost it's almost like when we were children and Pokemon came out and there was the cards, right? And you could get
I'm kind of with you. Continue.
Okay. And you know how, like, if you were to, you know how you could buy the packs of cards, and listeners, I'm old, okay? I'm going to call it what it is. I'm talking first generation Pokemon only. Anything after 151, I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't care. You know how when you get those cards, you can get a Caterpie, you can get a Nidorino or whatever. You get your commons, your uncommons. But then you get that rare card. You get that holographic Charizard. You get that movie Mew that was only limited edition, like that type of stuff, right?
Oh, you was in the trenches. You was deep in the trenches. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. So, like, when you get stuff like that, it's like, it blows your mind. Like, oh, that's kind of how I felt. Like, back then, seeing this was like a holographic Charizard. Now, it's more like a, let's go Ash's Pikachu. Still rare, but it's kind of common a little bit more now than, like, the ultra-rare Charizard.
So, couple of things. One, I just need to know this very important question. Insert the, do you want, how must them be a millionaire? Whatever the name of the show is. Ms. Smith, you creating a Picasso?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just had to make sure.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But in all seriousness, man, let's break this down a little bit. The New Jersey art teacher is under fire from parents at her preschool who believe her voluptuous curves and figure hugging dresses are a clear distraction to the children's learning. One, it's an art teacher. You're supposed to be able to look at shapes and be able to draw shapes. But that's beside the point. So they've been under the art teacher, under her, if you want the at, please hit us up in our DMs, has amassed a huge following online, over 782,000 followers on Instagram alone, as she regularly updates her fans with photos and videos taken from her art classes. But in the comment section of her post, people are appearing to agree that they too would find it hard to concentrate if she was their teacher. LOL, why didn't my art teacher look like this when I was in school? You nasties. That is underage. I would have never missed a class. Of course, you would be in preschool. You would get dropped off. Okay. One user wrote while another continued, not going to lie, but I kind of see why parents are mad. I don't know how I feel about my five-year-old learning from a teacher with a Kim K figure. Funny enough, that is a lot of plastic in there. But I just need people to understand that it is illegal under New Jersey and federal labor law for a school to fire a teacher based on their physical appearance, i.e. hair, body tattoos, body piercings. If they are a qualified person for the job and the only issue that you have is how they appear, you cannot legally fire them. Which is perhaps why there has been no action taken against supposed complaints that have been made in regards to the woman's looks. Meanwhile, on Twitter, one person argued, let's be real. Those moms are really worried about the days that the dads might have to drop off and pick up. Their demands have nothing to do with the kids. Here's the plot twist. As I did some more research, because, you know, I had to find out all the things as a fellow teacher, that apparently it's not even necessary the women that are making or saying it's an issue. There's a lot of men, which is the crazy part, because if you're the dad and you are in a healthy relationship with your significant other, you just drive by that like you don't see nothing. Or if you do see something, you look, you don't touch, and you keep it pushing. Sounds easy enough, right?
Yep.
Like, I need people to get out of this phase where they think that, yes, there are situations where teachers have inappropriate relationships with children. But I need you to understand, 9 times out of 10, the teachers ain't worried about your crusty looking self or your crusty looking child. They worried about the fact that they rocking white beaters and Crocs like they just rolled out of bed. They worried why that boy's hair ain't never been braided in his life. Got an uneven ponytail. They ain't not worried about you. They worried about being underfunded and undersupported. They are not worried about you or your child and how they're staring up. If I do my job, that's all that matters. That's what I get paid to do, right? That's what you want me to do. You don't want us to read to these kids. You don't want us to be able to teach them. You don't want to tell them about actual history. But you got the audacity to complain about the way the person looks. Sounds like there's a theory that would help deal with this in some form or fashion. But you know, that's not really taught in schools. Crazy, right? Hang out with us next time when I break down more issues with the school system. The
Uh-oh.
More you know.
Uh-oh. I'm going to get your soapbox ready for that one.
Oh, boy. We don't have to have a whole episode about that.
One, and which is the biggest thing of all, I seriously don't think five-year-olds are going to really be looking at the teacher like, you know, I don't know her name, but, oh, your body, I just can't stop looking at it. Like, them kids are worried about playtime, naps, and doing whatever's in class. That's it, okay? They're five. They are five. I'm going to make sure I say this again. They are five. Now,
right.
If this was high school, all right, you might have something, because I did have a teacher. Well, she wasn't my teacher, but I knew of her. His name was Miss Armstrong. She was probably, 23 teaching in high school? And the way she dressed to come to class, I was like, oh, okay. Hormones are raging. But at the same time, like you said, breaking the laws much, couldn't get arrested much, you know, all that other stuff, couldn't happen. And then furthermore, like Brother X said, if she's doing her job, if your students are learning, then I don't see the issue. It would be different if she came to class nude or in a Fashion Nova thong bikini talking about some, okay, students, today we're going to paint live muses and I'm the muse or whatever, something like that. And okay, whatever, but she's fully covered. She cannot help. I'm going to word this cruelly. She cannot help her body of how the doctor did it. Because I don't care what you say. The thighs don't match. Doctor did some of that. But moreover, if the guys or the men or the dads are the ones that are complaining most about this teacher, then I think I have a solution for y'all. Go to therapy.
Message.
And talk Stop. About.
Get some help.
Yeah. And talk about why you are having this in regards to your significant other or the things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that as men and ladies, I'm going to give you a little bit of the game right now. Don't kill me for this. As time goes on, you are not going to look at your partner the same way you looked at them on your first date or your second date or whatever. There will be a type of comfortability. There will be a type of like, okay, I kind of know what you're going to give. It's something that's brand new and exciting. It's like, huh, you got my attention. But if you are a male or a man that is comfortable in their being and know what they want or know who they are and know what they have, then this shouldn't be a problem for you to be like, oh, she got a nice body. So anywho, Junior is failing on shape. So how are we going to fix that? Like that's it. As Brother X said.
Lil Nino can't draw, can't color in the lines. What are we going to do about it?
Lil Nino!
my son's getting his reds and his blues mixed up.
And that's it. That's really all it is. At the end of the day, the children are the most important thing. I don't care about that teacher. Just the same way that teacher banged. She couldn't help it. And she was naturally built like that. But she was dressed cleanly. She didn't really show off. She tried not to show off her shape as much. It just naturally happened. And you know what? She still was able to teach the kids. But this is y'all not worrying about the actual stuff that needs to be done. So,
I mean, you're not wrong. What school did you say she work at? I'm looking to transfer to Jersey.
Let me guess. You can go to lunch break and be like, so how the kids do it?
Yeah. I want to compare notes. See how I can do some cross curriculum between art and phys ed.
Stop the cap. Stop the cap right now. Stop the cap. No bullshit, bro.
Move on before I say something that's going to get me in trouble. Shut up. Shut up.
Listeners, don't mind us.
Okay, we just go move on for something that happens. Moving on to international items. Apparently, a shipment of baby wipes that met at the U.S.-Mexico border ended up having $11.8 million worth of cocaine.
Goddamn.
Yeah, listeners. $11.8 million. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers seized the narcotics at the Columbia Solidarity Bridge, according to a news release. The bridge connects Texas and the Mexican state of Nuevo Laredo over the Rio Grande, just north of Laredo, Texas. Officers from CBP's Office of Field Operations sent a trailer truck, which claimed to be carrying only baby wipes, for a second inspection. Then a canine and non-intrusive inspection resulted in discovery of 1,935 packages with around 1,500 pounds of alleged cocaine.
God damn.
Now, I'm just more so, I wondered, like, it's not, I'm going to put it this way. In theory, it's a smart idea because the way these packages look, I would look at it like baby wipes. These actually do kind of look like baby wipes from the outside.
But they also look like the miniature packs of tissue that you take to school sometimes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a idea. I give it that. In theory, it's genius. But one of the biggest things that TSA and CBP, the dogs, are trained to sniff out coke and bombs or anything made of explosives. So. Yeah, this wasn't gonna fly. But all I'm saying is, Brother X, hypothetical question. You're driving. Let's say you're driving home.
Right.
And somebody drops off a package of baby wipes at your door. You are trying to return it, but you don't know what the thing is. And when you open it, it's cocaine. You taking it back?
First and foremost, I already know something's up because I ain't got no kids that I'm aware of. Secondly, I'm going to consider what are my options. I'm going to understand where can I redistribute this material for the most affordable option. Now, how that may happen and where it may end up, I cannot say because I'm sure the feds are listening. But just know, God did, Hope did. If you know, you know. Cause, woo! I'm not saying it's right, but Lord knows that is some generational money right there.
Listen, no, I'm still, I'm still tripping off. I forgot it was a story a while back where homeboy had a couch that had like $1 million in it. And he turned it in. What? Brother, I'm going to pray to God and say, Lord, I understand this blessing and I appreciate you. Thank you for looking out. You're the real one. God bless. I mean, you bless. And then I'm going to look down and be like, all right, so, you know, how am I going to do this? And listeners, if you're smart, what you do is you don't take the full million. You take 50 to 100,000, stash it somewhere else. Therefore, whoever has that couch is looking for it. And you say, oh yeah, I found it, blah, 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 whatever. And they look like, oh, there's money missing. I'm like, look, that's how I found it, man. And that's it. But the rest of the money's in there. The more you know.
Hey, I mean, you do what you gotta do. But yeah, man. But while we're doing that, you might even want to try to catch a flight with that money. But just be careful that you don't fly on Air France, because apparently they got a flight club out there, and we're not talking about the Mile High. We are talking about an actual flight club. So listeners, here's the last crazy story before we move on. Flight club is apparently going on with this two Air France pilots who were suspended after getting into a tussle in the cockpit. That's still a funny word right there, but we're not going to be children right now. So more like flight club, two Air France pilots suspended after getting into a tussle in cockpit. Two pilots have been suspended after getting into altercation in the middle of a flight. Listeners, what are you going to do? You know how like the pilots have the little intercom that talks to everybody? What you going to do if you hear The pilot bumped the button to turn on the intercom. All you hear is just a ruffling in the church. Just, oh, hey, get off me, get off me. What, dog? You better go ahead and say your prayers, call your loved ones, turn your phone off airplane mode, because it's a wrap. You're donezo. You're done. Go ahead, hang it up. Because apparently they were arguing over the two exchanged inappropriate gestures with one another. At one point, crew members had to step in. Dog, who is flying the plane? I know it has autopilot, but god damn, you somebody gotta watch it. Mr. Smith.
So, and when I saw this story, the first thing I thought of was our flight back from Costa Rica. When we hit that turbulence, and everybody was all getting nervous, and you're behind
me. I was scared. I was nervous.
And listeners, if you don't know, on our way back from Costa Rica, we hit some really bad turbulence. And, you know, the plane kind of dropped a couple times. I ain't going to lie. But while it's going on, everybody starts freaking out. Brother X sees me, and I start South Dallas swagging in my seat.
I never thought I wanted to punch this man in the chest so hard in that moment. Like, nigga, we fearing for our lives. This nigga is South Dallas swagging like ain't no tomorrow. Just stupid.
I mean, at that point, I was like, what more can you do? I just had to laugh at it. So I just started saying, swag. But I agree. Like, if pilots are fighting in the cockpit and I'm here and tussling, I'm going to pick my head over that little seat like, y'all got that? Like, what's going on? What happened? Do we need, like, I understand. And then I'm going to say the same thing I always say. Look, what y'all got to deal with, get us on the ground first. Once we get on the ground and we deplane, you can fight all you want throughout this whole damn flight. I don't care. Right. But let us get on the ground first. But now, I ain't going to lie. That would be the one time I'd be scared if I heard, you know,
hey, get off! Hey, let go! Look him! I'm terrified.
I ain't gonna lie. I'd be like, is this Spirit? Am I on Spirit Airlines? Is this what we doing?
I'm about to say, we all about to be on Spirit Airlines. We all about to become spirits.
Yep, we about to go to that up.
Exactly. With side note, real quick. I know this is in the document. We a little stretched for time, but did you hear about that Southwest flight where the pilot said he's going to turn the plane around?
I did. I'm not mad at him because technically he was on the ground when he said it, but you could tell he was annoyed as hell. And listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about quickly, a Southwest flight, I don't remember where it was, but they were taxiing on the runway. They pulled away from the gate and somebody on the plane was airdropping nudes to people on the flight. To the point where the pilot had to go on the intercom and be like, now look, if this shit keep happening, I'm going to turn this motherfucker around and police going to get involved and y'all just going to be, your vacation going to be ruined. So chill out. Like the pilot was literally that black dad like, hey, y'all chill out back there. Go sit down and read something.
Basically. Okay, I just had to make sure I get that off my chest when it came to my mind. All right, guys, so for our Black Business Highlight this week, we're just going to highlight For the Culture Button Collection. It is also known as Clark For the Button Collection LLC on Instagram. They are a Black woman-owned business that is located out of Raleigh, North Carolina. It is owned by a Black woman by the name of Shondell Clark. And some information about her: Shondell Clark is a technically sophisticated and business-savvy professional with a career reflecting strong leadership qualifications coupled with vision dedicated to the success of the enterprise. In November 2019, she launched For the Culture Bun Collection. This business is a brand of good and services with an emphasis on design from Black perspectives. Ms. Clark started this business because she wants to show the beauty of Black culture through her skills and creativity. It's important to inform our generation and beyond about their history and culture and their culture. Excuse me. She enjoys spending her time creating them. Now, for listeners, if you ever want to check them out, they actually have a couple of different social medias. You can check them out on Instagram at, let me see as it pulls up. It is Clark_For the Culture Buttons LLC. You can always check them out on Facebook. All that information will be in the show notes, so definitely check them out. Again, that's For the Culture Button Collection. Check them out. Get you some buttons, man. Get your buttons ready, because fall's coming. You're going to need them jackets, and you gotta spice it up a little bit, man. Show a little bit of flair of your personality. All right, guys. We're going to move into our next topic in just a moment. Now, with that being said, guys, listeners, we're actually going to go ahead and get into the main topic of this episode, which is our Black Box Series Part 2. We had a ball talking about these stories last time, so we decided to bring you a part two of it. So we're going to go, we got two stories for you. This first one is going to be told by me. Now, listen, I'm telling you now, I was drunk. I need you to know this now. This story will not be told in succinct order. Mrs. Smith will try to keep me on track, but I can only tell you the highlights that I remember. So this particular trip, we're traveling down to Jamaica. I forget the exact. Is it Negril, Jamaica?
Yep. Negril.
So, mind you, it's with the same travel group, so we're all having a good time. It's myself, Mr. Smith, Quincy, his ex, his significant other at the time. Sweet Savage, and a couple other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going down there, have a nice little trip. We didn't fly down early like we did before, or say the next day, but it was a nice little time. Nice resort, food was okay. Steak was bomb.
Oh, yeah, that steak was fire.
Now, shout out to that salad.
Oh, with the bacon?
You know who you are. But when you told us about the full piece of bacon inside the salad,
that sentence will forever stick in my mind. Nigga, is that a salad with bacon?
Exactly. Phenomenal. So that was one of the first things that stuck in my mind. But while we were down there, man, we did a whole lot of different things. In particular, one of the first things that sticks out of my mind about this trip, we were down there. I forget. It was either the first day or going the first full day or that afternoon that we got in. Because I think we got in about midday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as the trip routine is always done, everybody drop off your stuff, change to your swimsuit, and meet up at the swimming pool or the swimmer bar. So we get down there. It's a nice little setup. Got a couple of little chairs. Everybody's got little sections. This one person who was part of our planning committee, shout out to the planning committee from that trip. We did a phenomenal job. I don't care what nobody said. We undefeated. Mm-hmm. You know who you are. So we get down there, and one of the people on our planning committee decides to wear a bathing suit, of course, at the pool. You would think so. Listen, what people fail to realize, or what she failed to realize was she decided to wear a white bathing suit.
It's looking spicy.
Around a bunch of niggas. Let's go into what happens. So, she's out there. She's trying to make sure everybody's having a good time. She's got a goddamn whistle. That shit went off the entire fucking trip. That shit run. Like, I had flashbacks to that shit. So, she is in the suit. She's trying not to get wet or whatever for obvious reasons. Mrs. Smith knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, listeners, for the record, her bathing suit was a one-piece white bathing suit, but the top didn't have padding in it. Women, you understand what I mean? So it's kind of like just, yeah.
But I was about to say, you got your gifts on display.
Yeah, the headlights were showing.
So we, and I, well, no, I'm sorry. Let me not say we.
I was about to say, I wasn't in this.
We were not part of this next part of the story, but apparently we're chilling, we're drinking, having a good time, fellowship with our peoples. This said person needs a help getting to the other side of the pool, but she didn't walk around because she couldn't find her sandals. So these gentlemen, I'm gonna call them gentlemen, decide to help her get from one end of the pool to the other. Listeners, when I tell you they carried her across the water to the other side of the pool. Mine's just like going on for like a good 2 minutes. And I hate to admit this because apparently I'm ignorant when I go on trips out of the country. I never knew this until I started traveling. I think either I or a couple of people started singing Wade in the Water as they're carrying said person across the pool. Listeners, I'm not proud of myself, but it was funny. So, needless to say, that was quite hilarious. Mr. Smith,
It also didn't help the fact that as they're carrying her, listeners, they're slightly like kind of dipping her in the water. So obviously, women, the headlights kind of was peeking through at that point. And so as they're carrying, they're saying wait in the water and they're carrying her, they are slowly passing her from one person to the next. But they're making sure that she, her front side is facing the whole crowd as they slowly carry her. And I'm just like, you call them gentlemen. You want to know what I call them?
Nigga!
That is
I mean, they were trying to help a young lady across the water.
Right. Go ahead.
All right. But some other highlights from that trip. So listeners, I very rarely, I know I said I disappeared on the Costa Rica trip, but listen, that had nothing on my second trip. Basically, you guys know that the whole idea of where's Waldo? Yeah, everybody in my group had to find me based on my blue hat. No matter where we were, whether we're doing community service, whether we're at the pool, whether we're at other places I'm going to get to in just a moment, if they needed to find me, they found me by my blue hat, which I don't even know where that hat is anymore. I think it's gone. RIP to that hat. That was a solid hat. That hat got me through some hard times. Mm-hmm. But listeners, I don't know how or why it kept happening, but I just disappeared a lot on this trip. So much the fact that they had to tell me, yo, where's oh, there he is. Look for the blue hat. I was like, dog, it don't make no sense. It's not that bad. And then I look back at the pictures from the trip. Listeners, I had that hat on about 90% of the time. This is pre-lock, so you know I have the shortcut. But that being said, there are many different things that was pretty dope that we did. We had a silent headphone party again. And after said party, I think it was after that party, listen, if you remember the Jamaican story that Mrs. Smith told a while back or about last Black Box episode, he talked about the Jamaican strip club. So we're all like, oh, okay, cool. People were playing the strip, was like, yeah, let's go check out this new one. Because listeners, if you don't know, I forget Mrs. Smith shared this. Yeah, that strip club got shut down like 3 weeks later.
Yep.
Dog, when we went to this other strip club, dog, trash, basura. It was probably one of the worst strip club experiences I've ever had in my life. Dog, it looked like they were hanging out in some cages, and it's just like, the space just, it didn't feel welcoming. There was nowhere to sit. I was afraid to get lap dances. We're just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah. But I was more so kind of concerned when we got there and I stepped outside. It was like, oh yeah, we have a pool too. Listeners, that pool was so goddamn dirty. I was like, oh no, I'm not. I don't want to see anybody get in there. I don't want to get in there. And then to me, I don't really feel like it was a strip club. I feel like it was a go-go bar. Because the strippers weren't really getting naked. And if they did, you had to like give them like $20 worth of stuff before they even took the top off. And it's like, at that point, what's the point?
Everybody was saying, we had been spoiled. We had become strip club veterans. We had like, we did a couple tours of duty. So, I mean, it just wasn't doing it for us, man. So, yeah. Listeners, not all strip clubs out of the country are good. Just know that much. Just go with caution. Mm-hmm. Couple other highlights I do want to hit on real quick. Rick's Cafe, the famous Rick's Cafe, where you get like all the like food, drinks, everybody sees in like trips when you go to the grill. So I'm going to redact this person's name because statute of limitations is probably still in effect, give or take. I don't think I use that word correctly, but we're going to move on. So we're at the cafe. I'm awesome wearing my blue hat. They probably found me at some point. But there's this little clip. Well, I'm sorry. There's two clips. There's a regular clip, and there's the high-ass clip.
Technically, just to be fair, there's three. There's a small one underneath. So the one that you usually saw everybody on, that's the middle one. That obviously you saw that tall one that only homeboy went up there and that was it. But there's one directly underneath the middle one. It's like maybe, I want to say 25 feet. So, but you have to look over the ledge to see it. So a lot of people missed that one, but go ahead.
So we're going there. We're seeing people like jumping off. People seeing someone like Mr. Smith said, someone go to the high up one. We're like, nigga, what is wrong with you? And everybody's just having a good time. Everybody's like, watch people from the group jump in. We had a pretty decent sized group that was there. You see one person jump. Oh, I think, didn't, you can bleep this out. Didn't jump?
He jumped. Devilfish Dude jumped, and I jumped. There's actually a video. There's actually still a video on my Instagram of all three of us jumping.
Yeah. So we're watching. It was like, oh, that's my homeboy. They're doing their thing. This is phenomenal. Then there becomes another person from our group. Again, I won't say their name. But they decided to go on that middle jump. So listeners, it's a very simple jump. You jump down. You try to go, try to do it like a pencil.
This, yes. The trick that they told us was, if you jump anything over 25, you jump 50 feet, you do not belly flop. Don't try to do anything crazy. Bend your knees slightly and land on the balls of your feet. And if you do that, you're going to feel a tingle in the balls of your feet, but you won't like hurt yourself. And basically, at least from my my experience doing it, because I did it twice that time, one non-drunk, one drunk, whatever. It kind of just felt like you're just in midair for a long period of time. Like I literally jumped. I remember being sober and I jumped off and I counted one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. I almost got to four before I hit the water. I said, okay, that's a little bit too long. But then when you hit, your ears pop and then you just kind of propel yourself up really quickly. But, you know, it's at least I can say it was experience. Now, will I do it again? Absolutely not. But it was fun while it lasted.
You see, so listeners, what you heard is a very typical experience with that, with the cliff dive. This sad person, I don't know if she missed it. I don't know if they didn't hear it fully, but she didn't do it. So when sad person decides to jump off that ledge, it goes from, because she went from being vertical to slowly but surely tilting over, and you hear, and we're like, oh, she's dead. Oh, we got a dead body. We've got a dead body. We've got to get out of this shit. Just wow.
Listeners, this is the part that kills us. I don't remember who took the video, but somebody took a video of her, and like, she didn't really get like off the ground, or like she didn't, I don't know, for some reason, her body, like Brother X said, her body just slowly just went horizontal. And when she landed in the water, whoever was behind the person recording said, did somebody push her? And like, I was like, oh no, no, no. I mean, and listeners, she about as light as Brother X. So when she came out that water, she was red.
Dog, I think she busted a tooth.
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that. I just know she was red. And I was just like, ugh, that, like it hurt.
Dog, it was just all bad. Now, you know, we wouldn't have a trip out the country if there wasn't the twerk contest. So going back to that person who had on the white bathing suit and that damn whistle, there was a certain twerk contest that me and Mrs. Smith, I don't know how we end up this. We were asked to help get it started or help either figure out the music or something. But needless to say, we got the twerk contest part one started down by the swimming pool. And listeners, wow. Yep. There was, we're talking about, this is prime. We're talking about NBA in the 90s. We're talking about who? Hall of Famers.
Listeners, for those of y'all that don't understand that reference, you'll understand this. This is Meg Thee Stallion Knee's primetime women.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. No, they was in their prime. They, ooh, yeah. The knees didn't pop when they came up? Yeah. No. Listen, let's just say that it had to be broken up into two parts. So we had the one at the poolside, which was pretty cool. I mean, I think we had like a couple people shot in the red.
Yep. I was getting ready to bring her up too.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she won part one by herself. She won.
Oh yeah, no. I think she went undefeated that weekend. Maybe. I have to get to that part later. But all the same, that happens. And then I think the following day or later that day, we had the booze cruise, the infamous booze cruise. Now, listeners, I was asking y'all my best behavior this time. I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, you were. You actually were on your best behavior.
Now, other people who were on my boat, because, listen, we had two boats this time, which is pretty cool. There's a turn-up boat, and then there's the other boat. Somehow, me and the person I'm about to talk about ended up on the second boat. Blue Five. All right, so.
Got it.
Yeah. So we're on that boat, and there is a lot going on. Shout out to White Nick.
Hispanic Nick. You got to get his name right.
I'm sorry, Hispanic Nick. Shout out to him. He's like swinging around on one of the poles with a little overhead. Another person's getting danced on by one of the hostesses. My running mate for that trip, for that part of the trip, he lays down a little, you know, the little mesh part of some of the boats where you can kind of like take all those IG photos. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, wish I was here or take me back. Yeah. Yep. So he's chilling there, and one of the people who were working the boat decides that she's trying to like liven the party. She decides to mount him and starts twerking on him. I'm like, oh, this is a lot right now. Boy, did I not realize that things were going to get crazier. So, Mrs. Smith, do you remember there is a, I think it's like a gift that we put in our group chat from that trip, where a said person who I was running with on that boat is getting danced on, and you look like this man has going through all the emotions. He's like, oh my goodness. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Wow. Oh my God.
Just going through a lot. Needless to say, that Booze Cruise is phenomenal. And lastly, my last part about this, I have to talk about the Egyptian party, part two of the tour contest. It was all in one. It was all going away. It was like our last night. So everybody dressed up, looking phenomenal, looking like black goddesses and queens and all that other stuff.
Let me set this up for you. Because it's still funny how this all transpired. Listeners, again, me, Brother X, and I think like three or four other people were on the planning committee. So we were giving out superlatives for, you know, whatever else on the trip, school, whatever. So it's me, Brother X, and I'm not gonna say her name. I just call her AKA. There we go. So me, Brother X, AKA, are just standing next to each other talking, whatever. And the DJ starts playing New Orleans bounce music. Listeners, I don't know who Shawty was, but she was in the back of the room. She duck waddle ran all the way to the front and started twerking. Like, the three of us were in the middle of a conversation. I just remember us going, yeah, you know, this shit was going poppity beep, poppity beep, poppity beep. Oh.
Shawty ran a 4 flat in the 40. Usain Bolt who?
Facts.
Listeners, here's the plot twist. It was the same Shawty with the red bathing suit.
Mm.
Listeners, just know I seen it. I recognize it. But so that's happening, and it's just like happening at the steps of the location that we're at. They're going in like phenomenal. Now, AKA is chilling there, and then my running mate from the Booze Cruise comes up. So he's trying to dance upon her, having a fun time. So we're chilling. Queen C's somewhere nearby. All of a sudden, I look away. I look back. This man is doing a handstand, twerking on AKA, and she looks so bewildered and befuddled, and you just see a progression, because we can't share the pictures, but just know there is a progression of when he's going from dancing on her to going to the handstand to seeing her holding on to Queen C for dear life. And at that moment, I was like, it gets no more better.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow, I ended up being the photographer for a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of things. A lot of things that will stay in the black box.
Yeah.
But I
would just say, to end off, the shorty that you said, if that was the one that duck waddle ran up, technically she lost the second twerk contest, because the girl in the black came up and moonwalked with the knees.
Ooh, wait. Leave this out. Was that sister?
No. That wasn't her. It wasn't her. She actually got on top of said person.
Yeah.
And then got on all fours and was twerking so hard that she moonwalked with her knees. And we was like, yeah, she wins. Like that, you can't beat that. Like there's no way you can beat that.
Boy, there was a lot of stuff on that trip. And shout out to that swimmer pool that last night. That pool needed to be drained. Let's put it like that. How about me? I was safe and sanctified. I did not do anything on that trip.
I was about to say I was chilling. I didn't do anything in that pool.
But I wish I said that clear.
I'm about to say, you did not, I did not.
Yeah.
But we
saw some shit.
Somebody dropped their kids off at the pool is what happened.
And not in the way that you, and not in the bad way.
Oh, God. But yeah, that was our Jamaican trip. There's some other stuff in there, but maybe we'll get to that another time.
All right. So for me, mine's not that big. Mine was Dominican Republic. So that was 2014. So we get there, as Brother X says, you know, you get together, you know, you meet the people that's on the trip, same group. We ended up going to the club that was on the resort, and you know, some of the resort people were a little aggressive, but you know, we just was like, hey, first night, we go whatever. The second day was the booze cruise. Now, listeners, this is pretty much going to be majority of my stuff because, yeah. So we took a van to get to this booze cruise. It was probably like 20-minute drive or whatever. And we get on. It's a beautiful time. Everybody, you know, rocking out. Cool. Listeners, DR is known for this rum whiskey drink called Mama Juana. And if you don't know what Mama Juana is, think of Cinnamon Toast Crunch in liquor form.
Mm.
That's what it tastes like. It tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch or matter of fact, think of Fireball, but not as nasty.
Hey, you preaching.
So that's what it tastes like, right? So, and of course, they have jugs. I'm talking like if you were to a college campus party and you go to a house and they have a bathtub full of whatever, that's how much they had. Like it just kept coming. So the waitresses would just walk up to random people and be like, shot, you know, shot. And of course, peer pressure, all that. So we're taking shots of Mama Juana. It's now at this point, I'm probably like 3-4 shots in, feeling a little nice, you know. We get down to the water. It was cool. And there's this enclosed space that we went to, right? So for they said if anybody wants to pet a shark, go into the water, and the shark is safe. Now, of course, I'm gonna say this. This was intoxicated me thinking, so don't judge me now. I'm much more wiser. But intoxicated me was like, sure, I'm never gonna get another chance to pet a shark. Let me go ahead and do this. You say it's, I believe you. So listeners, I get into the water. It is actually an enclosed space. The shark had been neutered. The teeth had been sawed down. All of that. And I remember me and one of our dear acquaintances, I'll say. She's not really a friend. But acquaintances. Yeah. She swam with me. And we both held up the shark. And I remember her stating, oh my God, it's a male. I'm like, wait, what? She's like, it's a male. I know it's a male. I'm like, why? She's like, you should have been in the back part. I should have been holding up the head. And I was like, oh, you felt that. Okay. Now, as I get out of the water, listeners, there was this other group that wasn't affiliated with our travel group, but they were there, you know, just, you know, they can have multiple groups at the same time. Apparently, and I was oblivious and drunk, there were two women that watched me get out of the pool, out of the water, and were staring at me. Now, listeners, if you remember, I was in a relationship at the time. I think we were together for probably at that point 3 years. Yeah. 3 years. My ex almost stared a hole so big she could have blew through their heads. She was ready to fight off principle. And I was like, oh, no. We can't do that. No, we's going to not. We's not gonna be free if we get that. Master gonna get us. No. So, you know, we get back on the boat. Now, on the ride back, keep in mind, it's like 87 degrees outside. There are no clouds. The sun is hitting us like a motherfucker. And we're just taking sugary ass Mama Juana shots back to back. I'm probably about 13 shots in at this point.
Goddamn.
And I don't even remember going to the second level of the boat. Somehow I ended up there. My ex is sitting on one side, and we'll call her Free Spirit was sitting on the other side. So my ex ends up sitting on my lap. And listeners, the next thing I'm going to say, I have no recollection memory of. I had to be told this. I still don't remember it, so don't judge me. But Free Spirit is looking at my girlfriend, at my ex-girlfriend, and is saying, oh, you know, I like your hair, and oh, I like your skin, and da-da-da-da. And like, she cuts inching. Like, ladies, you know when you like a guy, so you make those subtle inching closer movements and try to, you know, give hints without saying it. That's what this girl was doing to my ex-girlfriend. So my ex-girlfriend kind of like hunches closer to me and is like, you need to get her. You need to get her. And I don't remember anything, but they told me that I said, well, I mean, if it's on that time. My ex. Yeah, my ex popped me so quick in the neck. I was like, wait, what? Oh, my bad. And she was like, I mean, I'll take both of you.
Sensational.
Now, listeners, I don't care how drunk I was. I knew at that moment I had a split decision to make.
Hey, lock in. You gotta lock in.
I said, if I say, oh, I want to do this, I'm going to hear about this for the rest of the trip, and my trip is going to be ruined. So I need to take the smart approach if I'm going to want to do some extra adult activities later, and I have to decline. Even though I want to have it, I need to decline. So what I said was, I'm sorry, that's my vagina. Out loud, and everybody on the second level.
Wait, no. You better say it the way that you said on the trip.
No, that's my vagina. So, you know, Free Spirit got the hint, and my ex kind of looked at me like she was crazy, but like I was crazy, but whatever. So we dock. Now, I'm kind of going in and out of consciousness at this point, but I remember that I walked from the boat to the van. We get in the shuttle to head back to the resort, and I pass out. Now, I'm half passed out and half awake. I can't open my eyes, but like I can hear things around me. Now, my head is leaning all the way to the side out of my seat, like in the little walkway of the van. And this was going on for probably like 5-10 minutes or whatever. So somebody said, yo, pick his head up, put it back on the seat. As soon as they push my head up, I start vomiting uncontrollably. So they end up getting one of the resort towels and like cover my whole face with it so that all my vomit is going into the towel. After I get done, they're just like, we can't keep it because if we keep this thing, everyone's going to start vomiting. So they ended up hanging the towel out the window saying, anybody want a free towel from any of the townsmen? Somebody from the town grabs the towel, opens it up, sees the vomit, throws it right back at the van. Now, apparently I was helped up to my room, and listeners, that was probably like, I'll say 5, maybe 6 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't wake up to 2 o'clock in the morning. Damn! And what I remembered was, my ex is standing at the balcony, and I'm slowly coming out of consciousness. I look up, and she's like, the first I remember her saying is, do you have any fucking idea what you've done? We're here for someone's birthday, and now I'm missing because I had to take care of your ass. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I didn't know Mama Juana was going to do that to me. And then I got a walkie-talkie thrown in my direction. No, it didn't hit me. No, there wasn't no domestic violence or anything like that. She threw the walkie-talkie towards the door because she was upset. Just want to make sure that's clear.
The irony. That's all I'm going to say. The irony.
Ah, I didn't even catch that. Okay. Black box. We don't leave that alone. So the next day, went to breakfast and you know, we just kind of chilling, going around. People started getting on like jet skis and, you know, I guess the banana boats and stuff like that. We ended up then doing a dune buggy through the countryside. And listeners, the craziest thing about that was, as we're dune bugging through, there's this little like housing, I guess, development. And there's kids, obviously with parents, the kids will run outside when they hit the dune buggies and will hold their hands out for high fives. And when we got to our first destination, the guy said, oh yeah, that's their entertainment. That's what makes them, that's what gives them joy, is seeing other people give them high fives. Do you understand how much that humbled my ass to be like, I am so spoiled in the land of the state where, you know, social media and all that. And these small kids get joy from watching tourists give high fives to them. That humbled me so quickly, which is why we always say travel out the country, explore new, you know, experiences and cultures, and you will get a whole new meaning on the world. So, the first destination that we went to was a cigar shop where they actually hand roll cigars in person, and they actually gave everybody a free cigar to try. That cigar was actually pretty nice. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not even a smoker, but that cigar was nice. The second place was this little like watering hole, I guess, little town. And it has this cave that has like a enclosed lake. I guess you want to call it. I don't know what you would call it, but, they said when we were on our way there, if you cannot swim, do not jump in that water. We will not save you. And I said, okay, well, I'm a good swimmer. Such is a good swimmer. So out of the group of like 60 people, I think only like 15 of us went down there. And so, you know, you jump in, you turn around, you take a picture. The guy will give you a picture. And I still have that picture on my Instagram to this day. But as soon as I hit the water, listeners, that shit hit me in my fucking chest. That water was so damn cold. I said, oh, hell no. I'm swimming out of here. So me and our brother, Drewski, gets to the edge. And then we see our sister from what we said last week, the Blue Lightning Student Booster Program. Our sister was kind of like struggling. So we waited for her to get to the rock. And then she knew that we didn't want anything sexual with her. So I get one thigh. My brother Drewski gets another thigh. And we push her ass up out the water so that way she can get out. And then Drewski went out first, and I'm a second, and then I went out last. So that was cool. And then we ended up finally going to this little like private beach that was just breathtaking. Like man, that was just beautiful. Outside of that, the one thing that sticks out to me on that trip was the camaraderie of the folks at the pool. And the thing that, and I remembered that there was a moment where this other group of people, and this is the last thing I'll bring up, was like, oh, your crew is cool. Say that five times fast. Your crew looks cool. We're cool. Hey, can we kick it with y'all? Like, all right, whatever. You know, it's all inclusive. We ain't paying for your drinks. So, of course, the clear woman will say she gets really wasted. And decides she wants to play a game of chicken. And listeners, if you don't know what chicken is in the pool, it's basically, usually it is a woman on someone's shoulders and they're wrestling kind of in air and they're trying to push the person into the water. Whoever drops down to the water wins. So shout out to Wakesfield. Wakesfield got challenged. And Wakesfield
Challenge!
Said, and Wakesfield said,
it's challenging.
Wakesfield said, Mr. Smith, I need you over here. I was like, what's up? She said, we're playing chicken. I said, say less. Drop down the water, pick her up on my shoulders, and we start playing chicken. Now, listeners, yes, my ex-girlfriend is standing behind me and is watching the whole thing. But communication. I said in the previous time, hey, she's asking me to play chicken with her. I'm just giving you, let me know if you have any problems. She said, my ex said, oh, no, I know who she is. Go up that other people's asses. So we get up there, and let's just say Wakesfield has a stiff arm like Derrick Henry. When I told you she yeeted old girl into the water, it was amazing. It was incredible. So, but just the camaraderie of being able to do that and drink with your fellow people, fellowship. But the thing that I will always take away from that trip was those kids will forever stick in my mind. Because if any other time that I get, you know, overwhelmed or concerned, or, oh my God, like I don't have anything to do, like, oh, I'm bored, I always think back to those kids that joy is running out of their houses, or their little huts, and high-fiving people in those dune buggies while they're driving by. Like, that's what makes them smile. And if that simple thing can make them smile, I don't need anything crazy. So I would definitely suggest DR. I would definitely suggest the dune bugging. And I would say, if you're going to do Mama Juana, do it in moderation. Match each drink of Mama Juana, match it with some water. And if it's hot and sunny, get some shade.
Hey, you're not blind. Your story about the kids reminded me about, you know, my infamous orange bandana with my suitcase?
Mm-hmm.
That's from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
When we did the community service at the school we were painting, and I've ended up getting to play soccer with them. Probably one of my favorite pictures I've ever taken is when we're sitting, the entire group is sitting outside with all the kids, took a picture with our travel group. So I definitely feel you on that, man. It is always a humbling thing. But mm-hmm. listeners, I guess our transparent moment this week is don't go to Hooters. Don't go to Bishop Sycamore. Appreciate teachers for who they are, and don't fly Air France. But in all seriousness, man, just enjoy these moments, man. Live up these moments. We're getting close to the end of season 2, so just be on the lookout for that. We're probably going to put a poll out, or we're going to start putting out some feelers for your top moments so that we can bring that together within maybe the following week from when you hear this, maybe 2 weeks from then, just to give us time to be able to compile all those things. But listeners, if you ever want to check us out or give us your feedback or let us know your thoughts, you can always hit us up on the TNTPod123 on Twitter. You can hit us up on Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And you can always email us your stories, thoughts, and opinions at Truth and Transparency Pod 123@gmail.com. And for Mr. Smith and myself, for the culture scientists who just got back from David Bridal, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. I'm forever grateful. And with that being said, guys, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Data, data, data. We wrapped the woo, woo, woo. Boom.
But wait, there's more. Hang on to your seat, baby, because this one's a screamer.
So, listeners, this is being added in post. I actually forgot to tell one very funny story about the trip to Jamaica. So, myself and Quincy and the rest of our crew were just chilling at the swimming pool. And, you know, like the resorts that kind of do games and engage the people who are there vacationing. So Mr. Smith, in all his wisdom, and what is now one of my fraternity brothers, decided that they were going to do a drinking competition with some people on the resort with other people. Other residents on the resort. So it was like 2 or 3 different rounds. They're going through the drink. I forget what the competition was, but just know that Mr. Smith was holding it down for the home team. They were just doing their thing. My fraternity brother, he kept diving in the pool after every win, which I'm surprised. I'm like, I hope he's okay. I don't know how he's doing this. But it gets to the final round. And listeners, you know how like you realize like you entered into a boss fight that you didn't realize you were about to? Yeah, that was Mr. Smith and my fraternity brother. So they beat all these different people and all that other jazz. And literally the people who were emceeing the event was like, now you got to beat us. And I kid you not, their demeanor went from very laughing, happy-go-lucky to full-on serious. He was like, oh, shit. So I forget, you guys didn't win, correct?
We didn't win that one. But see, I know where you're going to, so let me set it up for you this way. There were 4 rounds of people that we had to go through before we got to that. So your fraternity brother kept jumping into the pool after every win. And I would just kind of like, you know, do a bow or something silly, whatever. The championship round was against residents of the resort. right? So we beat them. And so this was supposed to be like, okay, this is it. You win. So this man had jumped in like 3 or 4 times. And at the point, I said, F it. I'm a jump too. Listeners, what I didn't realize was when Homeboy jumped, he lifted off from the brick part of the landing and jumped over the little wet cement part to land in the pool. My dumbass, because it was flip cup with beer, and you know I'm what a couple of drinks and like 4 rounds of, and I'm talking about they had the big cups and they throw that thing to the brim. Right. And we're chugging beer like it's water. So yeah, I'm drunk. So
my dumbass, yeah.
So my dumbass decides to try to do the same thing, but instead my foot plants on the cement part. Mm. And the next thing I remember is my foot slides and I go parallel to both the water and the sidewalk.
Like my nigga doing the planking challenge, it's like, how?
And apparently they said I missed the edge of the pool by like 7 or 8 inches. Like it was minuscule.
He was about to be done. Like we're about to have another dead body on that trip.
And all they saw was I hit the water and I heard everybody go, oh, is he okay? And they just saw my fist come out the water with my shades like Black Panther. And I just hear people in the back go, this nigga's stupid. And so at that point, you know, all right, we win. But then they said, okay, now you got to go against the MCs of the group. And just like Brother X said, they went from party, oh, whatever, to, all right, y'all niggas ain't winning no more. We was like, oh.
We about to bust your ass.
Yeah, like literally. I don't know if you guys have ever watched The Waterboy, but if you ever watched The Waterboy to the championship, the coach is telling the black guy, find the person you're going to get. And he keeps saying, Who's my bitch? Yeah, you're my bitch. That's what they did to us. They went from high to we about to bust that ass. And listeners, they weren't lying. They busted our ass.
They ran them niggas off the table like it was nobody's business.
Yeah. But we did get a free bottle of rum, so yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, it worked out all in the end. But yeah, fuck that rum. That shit is evil.
Yeah.
Especially but we'll talk about that another day.